Yes, Lord. Oh, no, no, no. Yes, God. Yes, God. Bless them. Amen. And amen. Amen. Good morning. It's still morning. Yeah. Good. Take your swords out, please. Don't have one, Mike. Don't you want the anointed one? Do you believe that? Mike refused the anointed Bible. They are. Say this simple prayer with me. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I can do everything it says I can do. And I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know I changed it up a little bit, but that's okay. I just want to try to wake you guys up. Or I may put you to sleep. I don't know what that's going to be. Today's message is the concluding message of the final law of sowing and reaping. But I want to preface this by encouraging us to spend some time this week praying for our nation. We are coming to Election Day. And I want to exhort the people of God, one, to pray. Pray that the right person gets in there that will do God's will. And two, vote. It is imperative that we vote. We have seen that through the last 50, 60 years, because there's such apathy within the Christian community, we have what we have today in our government and in our government officials. So I want to preface that before we get into the message. It's really about sowing and reaping, and we're reaping what our forefathers and foremothers and half-dads and whatever, because of the apathy within the Christian community. The arguments are, well, I don't like either candidate. That's not an argument. That's a statement. The statement is, irregardless, you have the right to vote. Not to vote is not an option, because that vote that you suppress could be the difference between God turning it around or it's going to get worse than what it is for us right now. Amen? Amen. Galatians. Turn to Galatians 6. We will be reading verses 7 through 10. And it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the house of the Lord or to the family of believers. There are many today who look at sowing and reaping, and as I had started this, look at it with a negative connotation. And I want us to stop looking at the negative and start focusing on the good stuff. Contained within each and every one of us is good seed. God has put it there. We are filled with gifts and talents, treasures, and all of that is to be utilized for the expansion of God's kingdom and to influence those who do not know Him yet to come to know Him. In the laws that we discussed, the first law was sowing and reaping will work for everyone. It's what I refer to as a universal law. It'll work for the saved and unsaved. It just depends on what you're putting into that. Because what you sow, you will reap. Amen? Law number two, we will reap what we sow, good or bad. If you sow to the sinful nature, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the spiritual nature, you reap eternal life. And we know that Jesus Christ is eternal life. So if we sow to the things of God, more eternal life will come out of us. Okay? Law number three states, we will reap more than we sow. Again, good or bad. Nature tells us that if you put one seed into the ground, you can get 30, 60, 100-fold in return. Everything we say, everything we do is a seed, good or bad. And understand that you will have in return more than what you sowed. But how is that, Pastor? Well, it's real easy. You look at your life, and I'll give you a key in understanding the difference between those who placate the flesh or the lower nature from those who sow to the godly nature. You've all heard me preach and talk about the opera singers. Me, 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 I. Those individuals who constantly in their conversation and actions is centered around themselves. Irregardless if it's their family, irregardless if it's their children, irregardless even if it's their job. If you listen to them, the conversation is always brought back to me, myself, and I. Those of sow to the eternal always talk about what God is doing, how God did this for them. And you look through the scriptures and you see the account of those patriarchs that said, God did this. They didn't focus on the negative. God did that. They didn't focus on their lack. God promised this. They sowed to the Spirit, believing God for the impossible, because nothing's impossible with God. And you can read the faith account through Hebrews 11. I encourage you to read it. Not everybody who's listed in there received what was promised to them. Wow. But they had this hope of seeing the eternal city, being a part of that. So today, I want to give you the final law, and that is, we will reap the same kind as we have sown, or we will reap the same in kind as we have sown. If we sow to our lower nature, we will reap that, and it brings back what? Death. Destruction. Right? But if we sow to the Spirit and we give God the glory and we look for opportunities in that, we will reap that ourselves. But how does that take place? That's a question I want to broach in a few minutes. The importance of us in sowing and reaping is to understand that our job as believers is to bring those who are still far away from God into His family. The thing we can't do, the thing that God will not do, is violate their free will. They have to make a choice. Your actions, your behaviors, everything that's going on in your life, someone is watching. Someone is looking to see if what you say, you believe. Because you see, they're looking. They're looking for hope. They're looking for the reality of Jesus Christ. And if all we do is talk a good story, but there is no love except self-love, they will not be coming to Jesus Christ. Because if all we do is talk about a whole lot of stuff and there's no love, what do we have? The scripture says it's nothing but knowledge that doesn't edify. But if we have love, love edifies. Love builds up. Love exhorts. Love doesn't keep any account. Love is action. Love is sacrifice. Love is sacrificing when you don't want to and you're so tired and yet you still believe that the Lord will give you strength to carry you through no matter what. You see, God is watching all of us and God is watching everything that we're doing. And God will reward us. That what we do in secret, He openly rewards to us. So, He's not unjust to us. He sees everything. And He wants us to exhibit His love and generosity. Because my Father has everything. He owns everything. And there's nothing that He will not give to me that I can't use to bring Him glory, to bring Him more souls into the kingdom. We fail to understand our purpose here, and so when we fail to understand, we miss the opportunities, or we fail to see the opportunities that God gives to each and every one of us. And those opportunities, believe it or not, come at the most impossible times. How many times have you been making plans to do something in your life and all of a sudden you get a phone call or somebody's knocking on your door, they have a need. Can you do this? Can you give me this? Can you offer this? You see, those are the opportunities that we need to seize. They should no longer be experimental or in theory. They should be faith in action that we experience, that we come to know and embrace these opportunities. One, to touch somebody's heart, to exhibit love, but also try to influence and sow something good in a person's life. And that all comes at the expense of me, myself, and I. Jesus said, you know, to follow Him was going to cost us, you know, just bus fare. Jesus said to follow Him was just going to, you know, not eat a meal for a day. Jesus said to follow Him, it's going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are, because there's someone else that has even less than what you have. Are you willing to sow the spirit of generosity, speak a word of edification, have an action of love that is meaningful to somebody's life? Because we don't know who's desperate. We don't know who's at the end of their mental capacity to deal with the issues of life. And most people who don't have a support system commit suicide. And that's what's happening to our vets. There is a system made for them, but they can't get the treatment. And so they don't feel that they're able to share with someone who would understand what's going on. Jesus Christ understands where they are, and we need to reach them, to give them hope, to let them know that God cares about them. Or people who are addicted. You know, the addictions can be either be alcohol or some sort of medical pain kill, pills or something very hard, opiates and stuff like that. It's to anesthetize the pain. And they live with this pain that is so deep within them, and they try to medicate it themselves to no avail. And what we do is we look at these individuals with disdain. Are they not the ones that God died for on the cross? They are. So we need to look at these opportunities as our friends, not as inconveniences. We don't need to fear in doing right or doing the right thing. God will reward. A lot of us don't have much. But as a family of believers, we need to share that with someone who has even less than us. We may not have the world's goods, but we have the King of the world. And we should be generous in exhibiting Him and sharing Him with the world that is so in desperate need of Him. What do we do when we find ourselves in our own various trials and tribulations? The fourth law covers that. You see, if you are bent on realizing that I can be generous, and you guys are, you're generous. Even at the time when we took a special love offering for Pastor Ilardi, God stirred on your hearts to give. And that helped Pastor Ilardi to a point where he sold his building. He's now beginning to devise his ministry. He's moved it from Yonkers into North Jersey. I mean, a lot of good things are happening. But God sees. When we find ourselves in various trials and tribulations, Peter says, rejoice. And I used to be one saying, man, I got a troubled life. Everywhere I turned around, I try to take a step for Jesus, and I'm getting pushed back 5-6 times. But if you're persistent and resist and not give up, as that scripture says in Galatians, you will reap a harvest. What God will do for you in those times of your need is stir the hearts of your brothers and sisters to come and contribute. If you need a meal, there's a meal. If you need money to meet bills, there's money. We need to understand that we're in this together. We're in this together with Jesus. And Jesus uses His people in such a way to take care of each and every one of us. I can remember I was on strike when I was working a secular job, and I was out 10.5 weeks. All my resources were gone. My savings was gone. Church wasn't where it needed to be. And I'm praying to God, you want me to go back to work? Take a job? Need to do this? And God just said, you don't trust me. How many of you just trust God? Trust Him in so much that you're willing to take the next step off a cliff and believe that He's going to uphold you. I was smart enough to say, you're right, I don't trust you. And God said, you answered correctly. This is what I'm going to do for you. The moment I made that confession that I didn't trust God, my heart changed. I don't know what he did, but he changed my heart. I became more liberated in giving, because what I had, I would give, but now I was in need. I didn't know how the bills were going to get paid. I didn't know how we were going to feed our family. I didn't know that. God said, don't worry about that. You're going to go to work on this day. You're going to have this much of an increase, and you're going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. And he did. The amazing thing was, the day that he said I was going to go back to work, I went back to work. What he said was my increase, I got my increase. And in the meantime, food was delivered to us. We don't know where it came from. It was sitting on our porch. A bag of food here. The next couple of days, another bag of food. Why? Because we had sown so much into other people's lives that God stirred somebody to come to our rescue to help us in the times that we need trouble. We were in trouble. They recognized the opportunity to serve, to sacrifice. And in this generation, today's generation, I'm finding more and more that they lack some important things. Today's generation operates by the world's principles. It's only three. Get all you can. Get it all. Your life will be full if you get it all. Can all you get. What you have is left over, preserve it, put it away. And then sit on your can. Let someone else work for it, but give it to me. This generation is what I refer to as an instant generation. Instant because they want what they want now. They don't understand sacrifice. They don't understand patience. And most of all, they don't understand about hard work. They have to be told everything. The bulb doesn't go on. It's screwed into the socket, but it just doesn't go on. And this is prevalent in the body of Christ. And we've all heard the sermons of, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the membership. They have to be told. When you see a need, don't put blinders on. Meet the need. Don't come running to the pastor and say, hey, you need to do this. Because I'm just going to tell you, Holy Spirit showed you. He didn't show me, he showed you. What are you going to do about it? Part of the reason why this generation is the way it is because of us as parents. Some of us, and I'm guilty, didn't follow through all the way with the godly teachings of they have to work for something. Because if you work for it, you'll take care of it. When you're given something, you could care less about it because there's more at the end of the rainbow. You can go and get more. Start working for it. My son, and I like telling this story, my son, when he was 15 years of age and he didn't have a job yet, a real job. I mean, he cut lawns and stuff like that for money. The funny thing was, he never cut my lawn. He cut everybody else's. Maybe because I felt like I didn't have to pay him. But he had a certain amount of dollars, and he says to me, he says, Dad, I need a new pair of sneaks. I said, okay, well, this is what we have budgeted for you, for sneaks. He says, well, that's not the sneaks I want. I'm sorry, but that's what we've budgeted for you. If you want these sneaks, you've got to kick in. Well, that means I got to spend my money. Absolutely. Absolutely you're going to spend your money. Because if mom and dad pay for it, you're not going to take care of it. And how many of our kids, when we give them stuff, 10, 15 minutes, they're good with it. Then the next thing you know, they're off to something other grander. I want this now. I want that now. And that's just human nature. So he kicked in his money, he paid for those sneaks, and I'll tell you what, a miracle happened. He actually took care of the sneaks. He really did. But in our heart as parents, we want our kids to have more. We want them to do more. We want them to have a better life than us. But I find that we're the ones that if we don't follow through and stay consistent in teaching them the value of a dollar, hard work, sacrificing to get what you want, being patient, God will reward. I think we're in a place with the church. Our kids need to learn those simple lessons. They really do. It's not that we're being mean with them. It's we love them so much that, you know what? We understood nothing was given to us. We worked hard for what we have. We just want to instill that into them. When we do that, and we teach them that, we become the better examples for that. And as I said, other people are watching us. And you've all heard this. If Johnny jumps off the bridge, are you going to jump off the bridge too? Are we going to be like them? In a sense, that's what I'm saying. You know, are we going to be like the world? Or are we going to be like what God says to us? Be patient. Be generous. Give with liberality. Give out of our, sometimes give out of our need. Like the widow with the two mites gave to the treasury. Do you trust God is the question. I can't answer that for you. I answered it to him, and I trust God. I'm patient. I want to see things happen, but, you know, as we have the resources, we make those things happen. What we sow today, we will reap in a different season. Any time we think that we can sow and reap today, we're eating our own seed. Because you have to be patient. You have to have time for that seed to generate and germinate and become a viable plant to grow and produce additional fruit, additional good seed. And our Father in heaven is very, very patient with us. Very patient. He will take us through the tough times. He has an unconditional love for us. He's not just going to give us things to make us happy. He says he gives us things to meet our needs, not our greeds. And so we need to pass that on. And a lot of times we have the resources, but our failure is we claim those resources as our own, and we don't want to live sacrificially. We don't want to put off a rainy day fund. We don't want to sacrifice because we want to sow to the fallen nature. And then 30 years downstream, 40 years downstream, when it comes time for you to reap what you've sown, you have nothing. And so it's destruction that you have because you've placated your flesh and your desires today, not looking to the future. Not looking to see how you influenced that sacrifice into other people's lives. Not realizing that we're here to glorify God, not to amass a whole bunch of stuff to glorify ourselves. Jesus says it this way in Luke 6. He says, I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. We have a problem with that already. Because we feel like we're getting the short end of the stick. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Sowing good seed. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do we have a mindset that what's mine is mine and what's God's? I mean, that's what the religious leaders tried to trap Jesus in. And what did he say? Give me a coin. Whose inscription is on this? Whose likeness is on here? And he said, Caesar's. And he says, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule. Do it. But I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't. You know what? Take your negative and take your selfishness and self-centeredness and go into the corner. I don't want to hear it. This is how we're to live. We're not to live at the expense of someone else. We're to live at the expense of ourselves for someone else to come into the kingdom. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything in return. And I've heard this from several individuals. Why should I do this? What's in it for me? The Father watches. You know, what's in it for you is you can produce more seed by allowing God to have His way through your life. Then your reward will be great, and so will be sons of the Most High. And so you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Second Corinthians 9:6 says, remember those whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. You have to identify yourself with one or two of these people. That's your choice. I'm not trying to come down on you. I'm trying to get you to understand that if we sow to our selfishness and self-centeredness, we have what we have, and we have nothing stored up in heaven. But if we sacrifice and we're generous, and we're not trying to manipulate or control, because we take ownership off the table. It's God's. He's given it to me to give to someone else. Ken has a need. I told him he can have my chainsaw. I sharpened the blade. He's probably going to have to buy a spark plug. But he's got work around his house. You can have my chainsaw. You can have his chainsaw. I said that to him last night at the harvest. He's telling me all this stuff, and he's like, well, I got a chainsaw that I'm not using. It's yours. Free of charge. We need not just do these things with the people that we love. We need to do it with those who don't know God. Especially those who don't know God. It isn't just the Connect team's responsibility to go out and do all this stuff while we sit back and have a good time. We should be doing this every day, planting seed. Our job is to sow right now. Sow good things into people's lives, encouraging them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. We have the things in our lives because mentally we're thinking about those things more than we're thinking about Jesus Christ and what He can do for us. We're not in His Word looking for revelation. We're in His Word to get knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. I want to encourage you, church. You're on the way. And I'm not coming down on you. I want to exhort you that you're at the beginning. But God's going to ask more of you. He's going to ask everything of you. Are you willing to give to Him what He asked of you? Or are you going to be like the rich young ruler and say, what do I need to do, Lord, to inherit life? Well, obey the law. Well, I've done all that. I don't rob, I don't steal, I don't covet someone's stuff. I don't have eyes for my neighbor's wife. He says, okay, that's good. But there's one thing you lack. In each and every one of us, we could say we're doing all this, but there's one more thing that we lack. In his case, he was rich and he had great possessions. And what the Lord said to him, sell it all, give to the poor, then come and follow me. That's obedience. Are you going to be obedient to what he tells you to do? Because he's not going to tell you something else to do until you do what he's already told you to do. I learned that lesson real young in my life. We exist as the church, as the family of God, to build up each other as best as we can, using our resources when God stirs our heart to help each other. 2 Corinthians 8 says, verse 7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You've heard Pastor Mike and myself and some of the leaders exhorting you to excellence. Excellence. Some of us don't want excellence. Some of us feel like we can live our life the way we want and there's no repercussions for it. Boy, are you deceived. Not only are we to excel in excellence of faith, which is an action of love, in our speech, cautious of what comes out of our mouths. Do we edify? Do we encourage? Do we exhort each other? Do we provoke each other to good works from a heart of love? Or do we just see the need and walk by? You see, we have a moral responsibility that apathy will try to disguise from us. Our Father is trying to get our eyes and our heart open to meeting our neighbor's needs. Not just, oh, we go on a mission trip or we feel good about that and all. It's about preparing your heart. And sometimes He sends you to the mission field not for what you can do, but what He can do in you. There's something in you. He has to, I call it timeout times. You go to mission field, it's timeout. It's you and God. You learn really quickly how to depend upon God. Because there's nobody else you can depend on. We should be more than just excellent in our knowledge about things. That knowledge should be translated into an action in which we love people. It's not just having a knowledge that builds us up. That's called pride. And my word says pride always precedes a fall. where it says, don't think more highly of yourselves than you should. Pride causes us to espouse stuff. And as I said with the opera singers, you know, it's centered around, well, you know, I can do this, I do that, I. You know, I come in contact with those people almost every day. And it's to a point of, God, can you just bring me in contact with people that say, God's been doing this, God's been doing that. I need to be built up. Do you need to be built up? Then you need to surround yourself with believers. Not make believers, true believers. I thank God for Pastor Mike, because when I was sick, he gently reminded me. He gently exhorted me. He gently encouraged me. And because of that love that my brother shares to me, I've recouped. And I stand before you because God sent this man of God to help me, not only just streams, but to help me. Who are you helping? Who are you discipling? Who are you speaking life into? Well, I'm busy. Please. Let's get real. What's God been saying to you? What are you studying in the Word? Well, I'm not in the Word, you know, I got all this other stuff going on. What's your priority? Who's your priority? If you are making yourself priority, you need to take an eraser and erase yourself off of there. God promises to take care of us. He promises us to give us increase. He promises us that as we sow good seed into people's, when we come in need, He gives us that. He stirs the hearts of His people to meet our needs. I think what happens is, especially in Western culture, we forget that we're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. We don't fight with guns, and we don't fight with bullets and armor and stuff like that. The illustrations of Scripture are real replete, but the bottom line is we are at war. And it is a war for the souls of men, the souls of nations, the souls of this world. And the only hope that they have is us, the Church of Jesus Christ, presenting and living the gospel in excellence in every area of our life. We forget. We forget. We get caught up in our lifestyles. We get caught up in our jobs and the things our kids are doing. Don't you think God cares about that too? This is what I've learned in my life as a parent and as an adult. Very simple. If you put God first, He'll make sure everything else is in order. That's what Matthew 6:33 is all about. I encourage you. Meditate on that scripture. See what He's really saying in that. Get the revelation of love of the Father in you so that you can take the revelation of the Father to the nations, which is as close as going to your neighbor, meeting a need. Sowing and reaping. We've got to reach the generations. Why? I don't want there to be a generation that has been raised up that doesn't know God. that means there's no remnant. That means this nation is in trouble. Let God put a little steel in your spine and stand up for what you believe. This is not the time for us to be fearful. This is not the time for us to give in to the proclivities of the world. This is the time for the people of God to arise. To say no more to Satan. No more to the deception. No more to the corruption. No more to the apathy that has caused this great nation to become impoverished and corrupt individuals to become enriched at the expense of the people of God and the people of this nation. If you're with me, please stand. Please stand. Look around. Look around yourself. Understand that I'm not asking you anything more than what God has already promised to you that He will do. He's now waiting, as Romans 8 says, the world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Are you His kid? Then it's time for you to arise, become dangerous. Become that which God has created you to be. No more accepting the crumbs of the world and having them tell us who we are. Let us begin to start telling them what they're in store for if they don't bend their knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want you to reach out, grab hands. I'll pray for you. Pray for all of us. Where's Josiah when we need him? Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray for your people today. That God, the principles of sowing and reaping are so simple, but they are so far-reaching. I repent to you, Lord God, that I have not extolled your people to do great works, to bring great honor and fame to your name. Yeah, we say that simple prayer, I can do all things. Now's the time to put that into action. If they truly believe what is in your word, then as you have said to me, I will hold them accountable to begin to do the works, greater works, that you expect of them, Lord God. Cause their hearts, O God, this day, to be stirred in such a way that they stop looking internally and look externally as to how they may reach the world, whether it's through their families, whether it's through their jobs, whether it's through their educational institutions. You have told us, not only in the principle of sowing and reaping and telling us that we are to be the head and not the tail. We are to lend ourselves to them. We're no longer to be indebted. We are indebted to you, Jesus. You have set us free. And the truth of the matter is, we are free indeed. We need the revelation of that truth. Father, I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your long suffering. I thank you, God. But we have a goal that has to be reached this year. We have an objective this year, Lord God. Stir the hearts of your people that we may reach that objective to bring honor and glory to you and bring it all into the house of the Lord, that we may teach and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are still far away. I thank you for them, God. I thank you for the principles. I ask now that you heighten their awareness and help them to walk this out, to bring glory and honor to your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Go have a piece of cake or pie or whatever it is. You can do this. Amen.